February 10th, we're taping Yonah. And as we said, Perek Beis was his prayer inside the belly of this fish to get another chance. And Hashem gives him another chance. V'idvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slemor. And the soul is very close to being separated from the body and gets another chance at finding its meaning in life. And gets another chance at pursuing the right things. Not Tarshish, not Yafo, but to pursue truth. Right? And it goes into Nineveh, the city that God charged him to bring truth to. And he tells them, in 40 days this place will be overturned. The irony, as I just mentioned, is that the prophet that wants most to be a failure ends up being most successful. He just goes to a foreign nation, Nineveh, the capital of Ashur, which is a nation that's going to destroy his people come 100 years, or less than 100 years from now. He doesn't want their rehabilitation. He wants them to be destroyed, as God says they will be. Instead, he's the source of their rehabilitation, and they're all listening to him. Why would they put on sackcloth because a stranger from Israelite tells them that this place is going to be destroyed?
No, I guess maybe the way he said it probably shook their hearts.
Remember, when he was thrown into the water, and just then the storm subsided. All the sailors on the ship, it says they believed in the God of Yonah, right? So you can be sure that they came ashore and told the people on land what had happened.
There definitely has to be a metaphor of some sort.
Especially the Gemara in Tanya says that there were many other sailors and other ships nearby who saw what was happening there, and it was like a rock star by the time within a day or two, this made all the papers. Everyone was talking about this Hebrew that was thrown into the water, right? And just as he was thrown in, just the second he was thrown in, this amazing storm subsided. Hundreds of people would have been killed. And he gave up his life for us.
Did they know why? Why the storm was happening? Or did he tell them that?
Well, all it says is he told them he was fleeing from God. He says, "My God, trying to get me, and if you give me up, then okay, and then this will happen." Right? You know, look, you see that they're very superstitious as to determine whose fault it is by drawing lots. Really? They're very fatalistic, don't you see? He came up with the short lot. Oh, it must be because of you. But they still try to, you know, to bail out and to throw some things overboard and try to make the ship a little lighter but that didn't help. And it's the second they threw him over, the storm is over. Right? So by the time he came to shore 3 days later, they were going to listen to anything he had to say. You get it? Yes. Good questions. How close is he? You know, maybe it doesn't really matter because a little bit of matter could be less than half a day journey.
Second question.
Tarshish is a port.
Assuming that this is...
Nineveh is also a long bit of phrase. So.
Assuming that we're continuing the line of reasoning that this is an allegory, what is Nineveh, actually?
So if you go look in your chart in the very beginning, take a look. It's the place where your soul is supposed to go to call out truth to it.
Nineveh.
Right. Nineveh is the Olam Hazeh, the real world. Iroklut, the whole world. The call that you're supposed to give to Nineveh is it's Times Square. It's out there. It's call Taken Olam Machushakai. Try to fix things. Right. The real world is not necessarily an evil place. It's just that it's busy with certain pursuits that can cloud your pursuit of trying to finding truth. Okay. So Yonah makes his way. Remember, a 3-day journey So the Vilna Gaon says it's a reference to the third time of doing something. You ever hear of this? When you do something a third time, that's it. It becomes habitual and becomes permitted.
Yeah.
As though it's permitted.
That's not good. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
That's not good. Third time's a charm.
Right. Then, so then the Vilna Gaon compares this to three time periods of you really turning over a leaf. Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Aseres Mitzvah, and then Yom Kippur. Possibly Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, and Yom Kippur, but they're, however you look at it, okay.
It's like Lord of the Rings when they had the battering ram trying to knock down the gate. Well, first time didn't work, second time, third time, that's it. They will go ahead.
So what do you mean turning over a leaf?
Yeah, it takes a third time. He had to go into the city 3 days because by a third time of doing something, it becomes more habitual on your part, and therefore you see that your behavior has changed. Sometimes you see when you're in your younger days you so readily did something, and now you've just taught yourself, and that's not the proper way of behavior. No, I got to stop doing that, and you don't even want to do it anymore. It's a great milestone. I mean, some people are so ingrained in drugs or gambling, and they just can't get away from it. I told you some of these examples. You know, someone an alcoholic, 20-year alcoholic, he's been sober for such a long time, and he just lost it over this most minute, and he's back binge drinking, and he's back ruining his life again. They always have to, every day, an alcoholic, recovering alcoholic will say every day is a struggle.
You have to be cruel to be kind.
Exactly. It's counterintuitive. Okay, so Pasuk Dalet. Vayochel Yona Lavo Ba'ir Mahalach Yom Echod Ve'ikra Vayomar Odor Bo'im Yom Benin V'Nevochus. Alright. The appearance of that first day of Tshuva, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right? And you go that first day and attempt to turn around. That's why you have to hear the shofar that day. Alright? What does he mean, in 40 days this place better be turned over? What's happening in 40 days?
No, this is Sukkot.
Yom Kippur! This is 40 days from today.
Why? Oh, from Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Rosh Chodesh Elul!
Oh, from Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Right? So remember, he talked about the three times. It's Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Mitzvah, Yom Kippur. So he says, in 40 days, this place is going
to
be turned over.
Is that also comparable to the model?
Yes, I think it's a very good parish, especially since there's a lot of interesting things between the Yonah, this Yonah and the Mabel story, by the way, and the...
So then, why do we need Yonah to teach the same lessons?
And Hanami, it's a lesson that recurs over and over in the Torah, that the number 40 is a number of transformation.
The
number of turning something over. That's why you give 40 makas. The 40th maka has to be administered actually by the sinner himself. That's why... I said 40, it has to be to administer that. You can't below your seat.
Oh, it has to be self-inflicted?
Not literally, because he's not going to just take a whip and do that.
Yeah, it has to be,
to get to number 40 is you. You have to make it yourself to number 40. Be 40 days and 40 nights in the Mabul, 40 years in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights at Har Sinai a few times, 40 days and 40 nights with Eliyahu. There are a lot of 40s. The men saw that goes into a mikvah. All these 40s that have been sent to turn you from Tumah to Tahara, 40 days or 80 days for after the woman gives birth, Tumah and Tahara. This is fascinating. Collection of 40s. It's interesting that there's a medrash that says that the reason why the flood is called the Mabul, right? See, Bul is Chodesh Cheshvan. Tanakh. Chodesh Bul. It's one of only, two names that are given to actual months. The other one is called Chodesh Ziv, which is Iyar. Right? Other than that, only the months are only given names later, in Esther and Zachariah. After the Chorban, the months were given names. Until then, the months only were by numbers. Chodesh Shvi, Chodesh Shishi. So, Mabul means 40. 40-day rain in Cheshvan. Mabul. You get it?
Sure.
All right, but that's a nice drash. But, a bul in Hebrew is a stamp. right? Stamp something. Because what I would like to suggest is that the mabul is meant to stamp some kind of change onto you. It's a pretty profound change, the destruction of the world. But a very interesting thing. You ever see, what's the first letter of the Torah?
Bet.
Bet. What's the last letter of the Torah?
Lamed.
Necho Yisrael. Maybe you see very famously what's the middle letter of the Torah?
Vav.
Vav. It's Vav the Gachon. Yeah. It's a big Vav in the word Gachon in Parshas Shemini. Right?
I just made it up.
So Bet is the first letter. Lamed is the last letter. And Vav is the middle letter of the Torah. So Mabul, the Torah given in 40 days, you know, or the flood in 40 days, how is that stamping its impression on you? So that's why Nineveh is given 40 days to turn things over. Right? Just as we are given 40 days to turn things over, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur.
How do they know it's the middle letter?
Count from this.
Sure. But like the computer counted?
Whatever, the Gemara they counted.
The Gemara counted?
Yes.
So
I'll tell you this. You're saying something that's important. Is because the way our Torah is, the way we have this Tanakh, it's off. It's not exactly. But the Gemara says Vav de Gachon, the word Gachon in Parsha Shmini, it's the middle letter. It doesn't matter. Once the Gemara says Vav is the middle letter, Vav is by far and away the most common letter of the Torah. So that's just to make the drash that I'm using. Look in any chumash on that pasuk, it'll say a note. Middle letter. Middle word of the Torah is a little different. It's Darosh Darash. It's also off, by the way. Look, it's not a class in Masoros, so I'm not going to get off on this. So that's why Yonah is giving them 40 days for this. Why not 60 days? Why not 120 days? Why not 10 days? Right? I assure you, if Yonah had given them 26 days, some Maimar Chazal would darshan. Why Davka 26? Or 36, something. Okay. Ve'aminu anshei Nineveh ve'elohim. And they listen to him. Amazing. For the reason I told you before, right? Okay, this is the time. This is a Seris Mei Tshuva coming on. Okay? And they called a fast day, and they wore sackcloth, from the highest to the lowest. You see what I wrote here? The outer trappings of tshuva assist the inner body. And in true tshuva, everybody's equal. Adrabah, the bigger sinner you are, the further you'll go. Right? So miktanam bat gedolam. Everybody does this. So what the Vilna Gaon says here is intuitive. Fasting on Yom Kippur is not an end to itself. Fasting on any fast day is to help you reach a different end of changing you. Okay? You see in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, which is from Yishtefu Yishayahu, Perek Nun Ches, it seems that the eyes of the people, the fast became the Iker. How it was supposed to change you was Tafel, because it wasn't changing them.
Well, don't we still say the fast is the Iker?
No, the fast is the Tshuva is the Iker. The fast helps you get there.
But they tell people, like, if it's either fast or daven and shul, you should lay in bed and fast.
That is true, because then hopefully that too will get you to...
I don't get that, though. Like, if you're sleeping in bed all day, how are you doing energy?
Yeah, I hear.
Because there's still certain actions we need to do, which are supposed to realize...
Because this is for an individual, you know... individual situation. Maybe if it's for the masses, you know, there were cases. I mean, Yisrael Salanter, one year there was a cholera outbreak. He made kiddush and shot on Yom Kippur morning. Somehow it's all out there, but I don't know if there's actual proof that that's what he did. But he made sure that people would eat because you want your body to be weakened and not be able to fight off the cholera if it comes to you. The highest ideal is human life. Right? But it says, "Vayigad devar al melech Nineveh v'yakami kiso v'yavera darto me'alav v'yichasak v'yishav al ha'yaver." Right? It must start from the top with an outward public display to remove all manifestations of gaiva. Right? I put this, I added this. It's that, you know, you ever learn the second paragraph in the Sechas Tainis? When it doesn't rain for a long time, and in Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, and no rainbow, right? Places start to starve. This coming year, there won't even be any vegetables to grow. Never mind how much the few that we can get our hands on will cost. Right? So what is the Gemara say? The Mishnah say to do? Take out the Aron HaKodesh, put it in the street, let everybody put on ashes and sackcloth, and daven out in the street. We don't have to worry about rain. It hasn't been raining. Right? We will have to worry about rain. Anyway, the Gemara says that you put the ashes only on the Gedolim. If there will be a real Gedolim, you can put on the ashes. Right? Okay. So that's like what's going on here. The king has to show. The greater you are, the more... I think Martin McGill says that only the Gedolim could bow down flat on the floor when they sang Tachana to show subservience. Okay? Bayazik means like to call together. Right? Bayazik mayomer benidme mitam amelech ugdolo limor. Ha'adam ba'bayim abba b'kor ba'atzon al yitam u'me'uma al yiru u'mayim al yishtu. Even the animals? What do the animals have to do with this? We want to make it so that nobody has comfort. But to think that an animal has to be part of this? So what would we make of this in the Vilna Gaon? Okay. Pasuk Zion, see? Okay, according to the Vilna Gaon, the people are the leaders, the kings. These animals refer to Poshe Yisrael, who have animalistic tendencies and can't fight them back. Animal just acts on instinct. They've sinned rebelliously. Al yitamu ma'uma al yiru mayim lishtu. Don't pursue your pastures, your greener pastures, your gold and your silver. Don't look for physical abundance. It's not for you today. Do not drink, do not eat, do not pursue these things. Instead, by itkasu sakim, all members of society need to do tshuva. Notice that the pasuk starts off in singular. Well, it says Vaitkasu. It says Yeshubu Ish Midarko Haraah. Darko, yes, it's Darko is in singular, you see? But then it says Minachamasa Shebecha Pehem. The violence that was in their hands. Let me explain this. Have you ever heard of Takonas HaShavim? Takonas HaShavim. If you steal wooden beams from me, or wooden logs from my house, and you make a house with them, and you make beams and you're sealing out of them, and then I accuse you and I'm justified and I show witnesses, and you stole my beams, now you have to pay it back. Right? Am I within my rights to destroy your roof to get my beams back? Those were special beams. I want those. Who told you to take my beams? Right? So Takonas HaShavim means that when someone stole something, whereby giving it back exactly as it was stolen is going to make it so difficult as to make it less likely that the person will ever want to do tshuva if that's what he has to do, means that we make a takon. He doesn't have to pay back those beams. He just takes them. I want my beans back. Right. At least, take a deal from him, because otherwise you may get nothing. Right? Let him buy it back, or let him give you other beans, but But to make him ruin his roof, so the Gemara in the sense kind of says that that's what they did. The Chamasa Shevachah Pehem, they gave back what they stole with their hands, meaning they gave back the actual beef. They would actually destroy their house. No, it's just describing a profound tshuva. People are going much further than they have to. Okay, usually we tend to be a little lenient on a Baal Tshuva and say, okay, let him come back a little bit at first, and then slowly he'll get up to par. Right? So all the members of society are doing tshuva together. Perhaps this is, simple. Perhaps even at the last moment. You see what I wrote? Afilu cherev chado munachal tzavarecha al yimnatzim chamin arachamim. Even at the last moment, he knows this very well. He was drowning in the water just now. And he says, even though the sword is at my throat, I'm not going to give up on God's mercies. V'yara lukim es masem kishavu midarkam arav, v'nachem lukim al ra'a asher diber lasos lahem v'lo asad. Hashem sees all of this and forgives kirov chasadav. This is how, what a good sport God is. Right? Let's finish up. V'yira al yomna ra'a gidola v'yichar lo. Man gets angered if after following all the right directions, he doesn't get his expected response from Hashem. Right? You see, it says, this what confounded Koheles, Chabakuk, Yemiyahu, David, Moshe, Abraham, Yonah is angered by Nineveh being able to eat at two shulchanos. It doesn't seem fair that they can get such a second chance. Especially when a corollary to Yeshekona Olamo Bishar Ahas can also lose his Olam Haba in 1 hour. Right? Remember the story of the Sefer Zevuah Zarah where Hanif Mitrajon is being burned alive with the Torah wrapped around him, and the Roman says, if I remove those sponges from you, and you'll die immediately. Can you guarantee me that I'll have a share in the next world? And he said, yes. So he did it. He tried to breathe in the fire and died. And then the Roman soldier jumped into the fire with him and died. And a heavenly voice came out and said, that Roman soldier is invited to the next world. Olam Haba. And that one act, before he purchased his whole entire Olam Haba. So the Gemara says when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, 100 years later, would read this story, he would cry. Why? What's so awful about this story? Because if you can gain access to your Olam Haba with one action, then you must be able to also lose it. Right? So, what makes Yonah so angry at the proceedings of the forgiveness of this place? Right? He says, how is it that they got to eat so much of this world with all their evil, and they purchased a place in the next world with just 1 day of doing tshuva, 40 days of doing tshuva, I should say. Is that fair, God? Right? It doesn't seem fair that yesh kone olamo b'sha'achas, especially when the corollary to this is that yesh oved atzmo olamo b'sha'achas. Incidentally, chapter 18 of Sefer Yechezkel was a little like this. Yechezkel says, if someone's been sinning his whole life and then he does tshuva, I'll forget all the sins. But the opposite is also true. If you were righteous your whole life, and then all of a sudden you turn around and, as the Rambam explains, you're tohe al rishon, and you regret being so kind earlier, you think it was a waste, then all that will be forgotten also. And then Yechezkel writes, and if you say that this is not fair of God to behave this way, right? So it says here, the Gro blames some of these inconsistencies on the mistakes made in Gilgul Rishon. Like in Perek Aleph of this book. Remember, Perek Gimel and Dalet is Gilgul Sheni. Vayiba Hashem comes to him the second time. So why is he so upset now? He's making things better. Not so fast. You, in chapter 2, before, have to have some Ra happen to you because of what you did in chapter 1. Hear that explanation? That the kid fell down from the tree after fulfilling the two mitzvahs that guarantee long life, because he had to atone for some kind of avera he did in his first, in the previous life.
Wow.
That might explain some inconsistencies. See, Eov suffered not because of anything he did in this world. He was suffering for a previous guilt. Ramban, his commentary to Eov, says, this is the only thing that gives me satisfaction over the problem of good deed. It's the concept of reincarnation. Wow. It's a pretty wild concept. I don't like it. I don't buy it. To me, if reincarnation was such an important concept, the Talmud, Bavli, and Yerushalmi would have been more emphatic about mentioning it. There is one body of Jewish work that has Gilgul on every second or third page. Of course, I'm referring to the
Tanya,
the Zohar.
Zohar.
Tanya's too much. Get late. Tanya also. The Zohar. The Zohar does not determine normative Jewish thought in my mind. The Talmud does. So what does the Talmud have in it? Right? Okay. For me, I don't know if the whole... This is how the Zohar says it in Koheles. That you ever see that in the Mishver, you say, Ramachi Barabash HaSakidav, you have 214, you have 48 letters, you have 365... the 613 parts of the body, right? So you're a Torah, right? And every one of those parts has to be fulfilled or has to be connected to mitzvah. Not that you have to actually perform a mitzvah, no one can perform all the mitzvahs. You learn about it, you incorporate that mitzvah, so that when it's time for you to go, you're finished. So this kid just needed one mitzvah left. The only mitzvah he had for his soul to move on was Shiluach HaKein. Right? So as soon as he did Shiluach HaKein, the body was very pleased to separate from the soul and move on to the next stage. Ah, come on. This is really why the kid died? This might be a good reason not to do a mitzvah. This might be a reason not to do a mitzvah. Who knows? My mitzvah that's keeping me from moving on is Pidyon Master Shani. Yeah? So I'm going to Pidyon Master and I'm going to hit by lightning. After all, I'm ready to go to the next step. Right? Oh, he was our minion. Okay. Alright, so here is where the Grub presents all his dispositions about Gilgal. Right? Looks up to Hashem and says, Hashem, you're so patient. And all penitents want to return, and you give them so much patience, right? It says in the Gemara, Homer Echtov Ashuv, Echtov Ashuv. Right? You say I'm gonna sin and I'll repent. I'm gonna sin, I'll repent. At some point, it gets too ingrained, right? And you, God, you keep inviting people to tshuva. You know you're a sucker. At one point, you gotta tell someone, I'm sorry, this isn't working. Right? You're too patient. Right? But you see, the Gilgul Rishon is Perek Aleph. The death is Perek Beis. The Gilgul Sheni is Perek Gimel. Right? God keeps giving us more and more chances. Right? So Hashem tells him, the soul says, it's called Hashem Yamar Ano Hashem Halozed Vriyadi Osiyal Masiyal King Kidati the Vroch Tarshisha. I knew how patient you are with penitents, and you're gonna save them over the smallest little movement. Kidati Kiyata Ilchan and Rochomer Chaim Rochesed Nicham Al Roch. I know that you're so forgiving. Right? Atar Hashem Kachnos Nafshimi Meni Kitob Mosi Mechayai. Right? Just take my life again. I didn't, the second time around, I also didn't get it. I'm not interested. Does it serve your purposes to get angry and depressed over this? What's man angry and depressed? I don't see an actual cheshbon. I want to see things more clearly. So God would tell him, and he says, no man can see me and live. Moshe has to see my face. You can't see me and live. Can't give you the ultimate answer. of what your soul and your body are together, and how these things work, and how reward and punishment works, and I don't work that every time you do a mitzvah, something is put into your right-hand pocket. Every time you do an avera, something is taken out of your left-hand pocket. You take away free will if that's what happened. I have to forgive Ninveh now. I know you don't like what that means, right? Because they're going to cause your people suffering later. But I have to do that. All right? I have the bigger picture. Okay? So he says, Vayetze yonim ino ir vayeshev mikedim lo ir vayas lo sham suka vayeshev tachtea batzel ad asher yirem mahiyah v'ir. So Yonah says, "Oh, it says Vayetze yonim ino ir vayeshev mikedim." So he departs the city. He goes out of the Olam Hazeh. The only way to survive is to try to return to Hashem's presence. Right? Okay, and he leaves the city. He doesn't want to be encumbered by the ear. Maybe I can find truth unencumbered by being around other people. This is amazing halacha in the Rambam, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where it says, if you live in a city that is corrupt, stick to yourself. Try to make them better. But if being around them makes you corrupt like them, give up. Just stay to yourself. But if they force you to be corrupt, then you should go leave and live in the desert. It says in Yom chapter 9, Mi yitzen li b'midbar malon ochem. If only I could live in the desert, away from all other people. Other than that, it's a Jewish ideal that we should be around people. We should not live in a hermitage. We don't disappear into a monastery. We're supposed to engage nature and the world. Our holiest people have to be married. If a Kohen Gadol is not married, he can't serve as Kohen Gadol. Right? So Yonah tries to set himself up outside the city. Maybe I can find truth unencumbered by a relationship with everyone else. L'havdil, what did Avraham say to Hashem? Ulay yesh hamishim tzadikim b'socha ir. Maybe there are 50 righteous people sitting in the city of, within the city, that may have an influence on the others. We're going to stop with this for now.